You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week on this Wednesday. Carol Masser, along with Kriti Gupta, we are in our Interactive Brokers studio. And we do want to get to our next guest because I feel like it's safe to say, Kriti, your chart was about this. A day, an hour doesn't seem to go by without us talking about supply chain imbalances. We heard Jay Powell talk about it yesterday in his Senate confirmation hearing. Lots of questions continue to be out there. Back on Bloomberg Radio is someone who's got a vantage point when it comes to company supply chains. Jennifer Basigli is founder and CEO at the supply chain management software company Interos. They're based in Virginia. She joins us on the phone in New York City. Jennifer, nice having you back with us on Bloomberg Radio. How are you? And tell us what's going on, what you're seeing. I think the last time you were on was about a year ago, and you did talk about a perfect storm for supply chain disruption around the globe. You were spot on. So curious what you're seeing today.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having us back. And we're busy, as you can imagine. Things have continued over the months. I think that the education for the global economy, companies and countries around the world are realizing they are only as strong as the weakest link in their supply chain. And we really haven't hit the end of it yet. And I think with the latest wave of the variant Omicron and a lot of us going back home, you're still seeing a major surge of goods throughout the global supply chain, which is causing a lot of uncertainty and a lot of stoppages.
So what are you seeing, now in terms of how your software works, what's the best data to track? Walk us through kind of the process of hunting this stuff down.
Yep, and so what Interos does in its most basic is we have a technology platform that ingests massive amounts of data and uses artificial intelligence to map, monitor, and model supply chains in real time to help our customers, you know, preempt disruption and identify different types of risk. And so some of the things that we're still seeing are a lot of concentration risk, a lot of over-reliance in certain industries. We're also seeing a lot of need to find alternative sources of supply. So again, as the pandemic continues, you still hear a lot of conversation about reshoring, which to me is just, I need to find more than one source of supply for a product at any point in time. You're also seeing what's called the bullwhip effect, where is little spikes of demand, whether it be based on food supply because everybody's cooking out of their house. And I don't know about you, but I went to the supermarket last week and the shelves are bare. It's because so many of us are now cooking at home versus going out at restaurants. And these are the things that just haven't smoothed out yet. So from a what Interest does,
Kriti and I were just talking about cooking.
I was going to say
behind the scenes, we're just talking about cooking and cooking at home because it's getting pretty expensive to order out constantly.
It's expensive and it's getting harder because again, we're all trying to hit the same sources of supply. And if you think about the restaurants, they got hit very hard because so many of their employees got sick, the Great Resignation. So I just keep going back to, even though our technology continues to map and monitor the global supply chain, we really haven't seen the smoothing out yet. And I think we're still a good 12 to 18 months from that to be resolved.
Yeah, Carol was very clear. She's like, do you cook? And I was like, no. She's like, did you get takeout? I was like, well, I try.
You cook some pasta. You did talk about that.
I cook pasta. That is my one skill in the kitchen. What's interesting here is I'm just going to kind of give you an anecdote. And on my takeout adventures, now that's come up, but sometimes I will get takeout and sometimes they'll have, you know, an hour-long wait time they can't find someone to actually deliver it to my apartment. Now, I am lazy enough that I will actually wait the hour and not walk the two blocks. But
been there. I feel your pain.
But I guess my question for you is how long do your indicators really say that these things are going to last? Like some sectors are saying it's transitory. Chip makers, for example, we discussed that earlier in the show. Others are saying this is going to last a while. The Federal Reserve is in that camp. Talk to us about the timing.
Yeah, I think if I were to look at the personal crystal ball, I think we're a solid 12 to 18 months for a lot of the smoothing to occur. I think we need...
Wait, how long? Say that again. How long?
12 to 18 months. I think it's through 2022 into 2023. I think that you have to get people healthy back to work. You have to have folks getting back to whatever jobs they're going to sign up to have. You have to have just the supply chain to level out. With everybody working from home, you had this massive surge that we've not seen since World War II of people bringing hard goods through the supply chain, and our shipping and our logistics network simply weren't ready for it. And so until people get back to work and people until things smooth out a little bit, you're still going to see this over-reliance on hard goods versus services, which is why it's going to take a while. I think the last point is that we are seeing a massive uptick from a business standpoint in more companies investing in technology mm-hmm. to ensure that they are getting the trust and the transparency in their supply chain in a way that manual surveys and humans just can't keep up with the changes. And those investments will happen in 2022, and then the real benefits will start happening in early 23.
It's funny, you just talk about the reliances on hard goods versus services. We were just talking about that with Aaron Kennan, too, about yeah. kind of that shift ultimately that we see in the economy. Hey, Jen, so good to check in with you. Jennifer Bisegli, she's founder and chief executive officer over at Interos. They're based in Virginia. She joined us on the phone in New York City. But 12 to 18 months, that makes sense. Like, we were just talking about the data points. I do feel like it's going to take another year to get some real true clarity, and this is the trouble. Central banks have to kind of make some guesses about what to do.
Yeah, it's convenient that those 12 to 18 months are also when all those rate hikes are priced in. What got me about what she said was the food prices in particular, because this is something you heard from Albertsons.
Yep.
You hear this from emerging markets, Mexico, for example. Those chief costs, they're driven by those surging food prices.
No, it's really significant. All right, folks, you're listening to Bloomberg Business Week right here on Bloomberg Radio.